face is lovely.
Good morning. First of all, thank you, Noah, for that reading this morning. I have a question for you, though. Should you be reading that? Just kidding. It is so good. It is so good to be with you all this morning. I've been anxious to get in the pulpit again. I always enjoy it. I'm grateful for the fact that in my new role, I'm not in the pulpit every Sunday, and I know y'all are probably giving thanks for the same thing too, right? But it's great to be a part of Northeast. I'm grateful to be a part of this church family. You'll notice underneath the church moniker here, it says, "Love God, grow deeper, and share Jesus." And if we were going to summarize who we are as a church, what we're trying to do, how we're trying to live, you might even call it a little mini mission statement, just encapsulates who we want to be. So if you're a member here and you're out and you say, "Well, tell me a little bit about the Northeast Church," you can say, "Well, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to pay attention in our lives and our hearts to what Jesus calls the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And we are trying to grow in Jesus. We're trying to grow deeper in Him. And we want to accept that challenge to not just live on the surface, to grow deeper in our faith, but not only grow deeper in our faith, but we want to share our faith, our belief, our conviction in who Jesus is, and share that with the world. We have good news, the gospel. We have ways that we can serve other people in Jesus' name. And that's what we are trying to do. We don't do it perfectly. We are imperfect people striving to follow a perfect and completely holy and righteous God. And we fall short of that goal because of our weakness and humanity. But in His grace, He saves us and makes us new. And we're all a part of trying to work on that together. And to me, it's an exciting thing. I am encouraged as well. We have somebody that wants to make Northeast their home church. Some of you have had the opportunity to meet Bob Jacobson. In fact, a couple of weeks ago when he was here, he made his own little makeshift name tag. I don't know how many of you noticed that. It's like, okay, y'all don't have name tags here. I'm going to make one myself. But there's Bob right back there. Go ahead and stand up for us, Bob. We welcome you. Bob Jacobs of the Northeast. And so, okay, you have your name tag. All right, he'll be wearing his name tag later. When we were first meeting Bob, Chad, when guests come, you know, we have an eye out for you if you're a guest here, by the way, this morning. We're watching and we're talking, you know. And so I'm talking to Chad about this new guy, Bob Jacobson, who's come. And Chad says, "Well, you know, he's a guy that looks like Alan Moffat." And you think about it, Alan was a fixture here, a great man of faith. He passed away last year, and we miss him so much. But actually, Bob does have a resemblance to Alan Moffat. We want to give you a few years to kind of reach that point. But so Bob's the one that looks like our dear brother, Alan Moffat. I don't know if you are like me, has already been stated, but I just want to say to you this morning, happy spring. Happy spring to you. Are you glad spring is here? Raise your hand if you're glad spring is here. I asked my life group a couple of weeks ago, "What's your favorite season?" And so we're meeting, and basically I was giving them a little preview of what I was going to be doing this morning. How many, winter, your favorite season? Raise your hand high, winter. One, two, three, four, five, six. Y'all are some sick people, I tell you. Okay, winter, spring. What about spring? Favorite season, spring. Oh, my goodness, there's probably 30 or more spring. Next one, summer. Summer? Okay, I think that's the most hands I've seen. What about fall? Wow. Some of you raised your hands twice. I know you did. And maybe because there's a little bit of a dilemma in deciding what we like. I personally like the change of seasons. I even like winter to a point, but I will tell you the older I've gotten, the less I enjoy winter. When I was 35 or 40 years old, I did not have a lap blanket at my house. But now I use a lap blanket, and I use it all the time in the winter. It's just pitiful. I get home, the first thing I do, I get out of these uncomfortable clothes, I put on my soft slippers, and if I'm sitting down or watching TV or something, I've got to use that blanket. Winter can be tough. I understand now. I don't see Doyle and Etta Brockman yet, but they've been in Florida. They're members here. They're a couple of our snowbirds that go down to Florida for the winter. And the older I get, the more I understand that. When I was younger, why do these people go down to Florida in the winter? What's wrong with them? And I really do get it now. A couple of Februarys ago, ice and snow, working on shoveling a driveway, fell and cracked 3 ribs. And that was humbling. That really was humbling. You know, when you hit 60, you go to the doctor's office, they start asking, have you fallen? They start asking you questions like that. But I will tell you this, I don't miss winter. Here's a couple of scenes of winter. This one right here is actually from this past winter. Even though we've had a milder than normal winter, and typically in the Cincinnati area, 21 to 23 inches for the whole winter season a year. We're about 10 inches behind that for this year, but that was earlier this year right there in my front yard. And this one was taken back in 93 or 94. Andrew was probably 6 or 7, Catherine a couple of years younger. And this is a winter I remember was one of those very, very cold winters that some parts during that winter we had like 18 inches of snow on the ground. It's amazing how that change from winter to spring, and how winters are around here, and how grateful we are for the spring weather. And therefore that brings us back to our passage this morning, our first passage this morning. And it says, the season of singing has come. You think of songs about spring and the sun, and one song that came to my mind is the song, Here Comes the Sun. How many of you remember Here Comes the Sun from the Beatles? That was their Abbey Road album. And that it starts out by saying this, little darling. And I almost was going to sing it for you. I want to sing it for you so bad. Y'all know how much I love to sing in front of you. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like it's been years since it's been here. Little darling, the smile's returning to the faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Little darling, I feel like the ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear. And we've had a lot of cloudy, cold, dismal days. Isn't this sunshine wonderful today? Here comes the sun and here comes spring. But in the context here, and this is why I said this to Noah, Song of Songs, Song of Solomon is a song about love. It is poetic, and it is celebrating spring love. You know, somebody said one time, you know, the time is spring when young men's hearts turn to love. And there me and my darling, my beautiful one, got married in 1982. Did y'all recognize who that was, by the way? She hadn't changed a bit, has she? And so, even though Jeannie and I met in the fall, I started falling in love with her in spring that same year. And then it was the spring after that when we went to Gatlinburg with our social clubs at Lipscomb, That was the first time I told Jeannie I loved her. Oh, isn't that sweet? But I can remember it like it was yesterday. We're sitting on a hillside, and I'm trying to get up the nerve. I've loved her for a long time. But I just didn't throw that around to anybody, you know? I wasn't a player, you know? So I really loved her. But there was something special about, I'm not going to say it unless I truly mean it. And up until that time, we've been saying, you know, I really like you a whole lot. I like you a whole lot. You know, and you know what you're thinking, but you're just not saying it. Spring, my junior year, I told her I loved her. And then spring of my senior year, I asked her to marry me. And so for many of us, music and singing can have a powerful impact, because I think of the emotions and all the things associated with music that move us so much sometimes, and how important that is and how powerful music is. For Jeannie and myself, two of our songs, one was the song Little Jeannie by Elton John, and the other one was Sailing by Christopher Cross. I hear both of those songs, and that's the time that I fell in love and I felt like singing, because I was so happy. There's something powerful about music. You can hear a song and it strikes your emotions. It brings back a memory. You think of all the experiences that you've had and associating music with those things. And the fact is about music, there's hardly anybody that doesn't like music of some kind. You know, if I were to ask you, okay, do you prefer the old songs at church? Some of you would raise your hand. The new songs, I like a mix. Do you like rock and roll, like easy listening? Do you like to listen to symphonies? You know, we'd all raise our hands. We'd all have different things because we have different preferences, and different songs affect us emotionally in different ways. I remember having a conversation with Tim Tripp when he was here and telling him how much I love the song Trust and Obey. And Tim said, oh man, I just don't like that song. I thought, how can you be a Christian and not like that song? Right? But, you know, he grew up with it. I guess they sang it so many times he got tired of it. But I associate that song with when I first started to grow more deeply in my knowledge of Jesus. And I attended the youth group at the Mayfair Church of Christ with some of the kids from the Memorial Parkway Church. And the kids would get together and sing. And I hadn't been exposed to a lot of this music before. And that's one of the songs they sang every week. And I thought, how beautiful this song is. So I associate that song with growing in my faith. The song I'll Fly Away, I've told you before, when I was working as a youth minister in Tennessee, and we would go in the afternoons and we would visit the widows and the shut-ins, and we would serve them communion and sing songs with them. And we would take the songbooks, and I hadn't done much singing, but we would ask people what they wanted to sing. And this lady, crippled with arthritis, in pain, couldn't move about, had to be lifted in a little, like a little, I don't know, what it was, but she had to be moved. She couldn't walk. She wanted to sing I'll Fly Away. And here is this woman, sick, old, crippled, in pain, singing the song I'll Fly Away with a smile on her face. Songs bring different memories. And let me share with you a memory right now of a recording I took. This is back when Jeannie's dad, Gramps, was 95 years old, and he was still leading singing at the Flat Creek Church. So I pulled out my phone and recorded him leading singing. And there's some memories associated with this.
When I
That video still strikes me emotionally. He was the best song leader they had at that little church. And he kept the beat. Some of the others were so slow. And I know some of you will look at a video like that and you'll think, you know, I don't miss that style of singing or that style of music. But I know for a lot of us, scenes like that just bring back these special memories. Music is powerful. And we have different tastes, but very few of us don't like music. I remember Gene Smethers asking that question in a devotional we had on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I can't remember how long ago that was. And very few. Is there anyone here that does not like music? Whew. Okay. I'm glad. It's universal. And God created us that way. And He created us that way to enjoy that and experience that in community. And particularly, God's people are a singing people. It matters to us. In Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with singing," or "come before Him with joyful songs." In the New Testament, we come to Ephesians 5, and it says, "Be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to God." What we do together here and on other occasions when we worship and sing and praise God together in song, it is so important and it is so special. Because even though God is the main recipient of our worship, there is something that we do when we engage here that speaks to each of us. And when we do that with our heart and with our spirit, something profound occurs. Never take it for granted. This is a special moment. And so we're going to sing a set of songs in just a minute, but let me ask you this. Are you actively engaging your mouth and your heart when we sing? I understand sometimes it's a struggle. And as Mike Goley said this past Wednesday night, I understand. And I've done the same thing, you know, a song that we don't like, or we don't think the theology is good or whatever. Sometimes it's hard, our mind gets diverted, or maybe we're struggling with the kids. I tell you, I'm going to be honest with you folks. Not that I'm not other times, but I miss my seat right up here in the front. Now, I understand why we're doing it. I'm not in the pulpit all the time. This is a better spot to sit if you're preaching. And then Catherine, you know, and Ben with the children and two little ones running around, I understand why they want to sit back there. And so we're going to continue to sit back there. But back when we were up here, it was me and then Jeannie, and then Jeannie ran interference all the way down the rest of the row. And, you know, I didn't have the distractions. And how do you do it with these kids? It's hard, isn't it? But it's worth the effort. Because God is calling upon us to engage our hearts and our focus and our attention as we sing. And so let's do that right now, as we sing and praise God together. Shall we sing? I think Spencer just had a moment that maybe he wondered if he wasn't supposed to start to preach. I think maybe he was, he's saying, okay, do I preach now? Thank you for that reading. Isaiah 55, If I were going to define what's happening in Isaiah 55, I would summarize it by saying this. Isaiah 55 describes to us how to seek and find true satisfaction in the Lord. That's the overarching theme of Isaiah 55. It's tucked into a section of Isaiah that is just so full of messianic references. Most of us are familiar with Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. Several chapters, several verses there ultimately are pointing to this idea of a king who would reign. But in tucked in there is this question, you know, why do you spend money on food that doesn't satisfy? Why are you not going to the source of true life? And so listeners and readers are invited to come to the place where you can find food and abundance that doesn't cost a thing. And that satisfaction, that fulfillment, doesn't come through physical bread or physical water. It comes through the God, while although he is high and holy and different, and in Isaiah 55, it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways," says the Lord. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." But the wonder is this God, who is so much higher and holy and majestic and transcendent, invites us into a relationship with him. And in this passage, once again, there's this idea of singing to God. And I love the language here that says the mountains and the hills will burst into song. That's anthropomorphism. Say that four times really fast, and I'll be impressed with you if you can spell it. Or I was thinking this week about the word onomatopoeia. If you can spell that one, you're really good spelling. But that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. Y'all know I tend to be like chasing squirrels sometimes when I get up here, so I need to stay on track. But it's such a beautiful picture. It reminds me of when Jesus goes into Jerusalem for that very last time, and he's riding on a donkey, coming in humbly, the king, and people are praising, "Hosanna, praise the king who comes in the name of the Lord." And included in that group singing and praising are children. And some of the religious leaders said, "Tell those kids to be quiet. They shouldn't be saying that." And Jesus says on that occasion, he says, "Even if they did not sing, the rocks, the stones would cry out in singing." The season of singing has come. But also, and once again, getting back to this theme of spring, in this passage in Isaiah 55, the statement is, "The rain and snow come down, watering the earth and making it bud and flourish." It's a language of spring. "So is my word, it will not return to me empty, but it will achieve the purpose for which I set it." It will bud and it will flourish. And so the question I have for you, how are you doing in your life right now as we think about this idea of new life? The new life of spring and bud and flourishing. And what about this question? What about God's purpose for you? Are you growing in God's purpose for you? Are you seeing in your own personal life budding and flourishing? Are you ready to grow? That's one of the questions I think that spring will ask us. It amazes me the things that occur this time of year in terms of new life, but one of those amazing miracles is the path and the life cycle of the monarch butterfly. They're all cocooned up in that chrysalis that they are in, but then they burst forth. But not only that, then they travel 3,000 miles. 3,000 miles from North America to Mexico. Are you ready to grow? Are you ready to break out? Another question related to that is this. Are you seeking the best environment for growth? And so as we think about spring and the message that spring speaks to us, we know and we understand that the tomatoes are not going to grow as well as we want them to grow unless we put them in the right spot and we have a healthy plant. And I will tell you right now, I am a personal believer in the power of miracle grow. It is amazing stuff. It makes such a difference. But then I think about this whole idea of growing in the Lord and how He works on our hearts. And He does that in a context where we're placing ourselves in the best environment for growth. And so as Rob talked to last month or earlier this month about this idea of placing a priority in our lives for the spiritual disciplines of prayer and scripture reading and worshiping God, meditation, we all need that. And so whether it's you reading two chapters of the Bible every morning like Rob does or doing something else, make opportunities to be fed and to grow. And that can be in a number of things as well. What about this? I think of spring and I think of this idea of opportunities for new activity. You know, things are dead and dormant. The bears hibernate. But there's a time that comes that we need to wake up out of our slumber and our sleep. It just does something to my spirit when I start hearing lawnmowers. And I know some of you are frowning when I said that, but just like spring is here. The smell of fresh cut grass, does anybody not love that or in early spring? I love it. Now, it does terrible things to my allergies, but I love it. Now, by fall and I smell this fresh cut grass, I'm tired of cutting grass and it's not affecting me psychologically the way it did in spring. But people are out and about, they're doing more things, the neighbors are coming out. And so I encourage you to let spring speak to you. Let the movement and the activity of spring challenge you to do something different, to come out of your shell, to make a connection with your neighbors as they're in their backyard and you're in your backyard. That might be an opportunity for talking to them and connecting with them and maybe even inviting them to something that's happening here at church. I think of our Easter egg hunt that's going to occur in a couple of weeks. What a great opportunity to invite somebody to do something with us. I challenge you to do something different. If you've never gone to City Gospel Mission or Matthew 25, or maybe you haven't attended a Bible class or participated in a life group, and the next month we're going to be signing up for food and fellowship groups this summer. Stretch and do something, some activity to come out of your comfort zone a little bit that's going to challenge you and make things new for you. And I say this as well, watch out for the weeds. This is an actual picture of our front yard where the iris flower bed is, but embedded in all those iris are all these weeds, and we fight with them every year. And it's a source of frustration to me. I know it probably should not matter, but it does to me. I look at those iris and then I see all those thorny thistles that grow and they just spread like wildfire and they have those little bushy tops with those seeds and they go down and just, it's a battle I hate fighting. I told Jeannie last year, I said, Jeannie, I'm just going to take Roundup and I'm just going to spray the iris, the thistles, I'm going to spray everything and just kill it. And then we're going to start from scratch. And she just keeps pushing back and pushing back. And you know who's winning that one. You see the picture. They're still there. Along with the thistles. But the point is, the thistles in the flower bed, that it doesn't mean that much. Those of you who are persnickety about your yard and not having any weeds in your yard, that's fine. But in the scheme of things, that doesn't matter that much if you have some dandelions. But what does matter is your heart. And as Mike challenged us last Wednesday night, he said, what is there in your life, what is there in your heart that you need to get rid of? The parable of the sower, found in the gospel accounts, talks of the parable of that man who goes out and he sows his seed, and some falls by the wayside, it doesn't grow, some on the rocky soil that's choked off by the worries and cares and riches. No, that's the thorny soil, the rocky soil. When time of temptation and trial comes, it withers and dies. We need to be not only planted deeply, but we need to be concerned about negative attitudes and actions like bitterness or anger or whatever it is in your life that you need to get rid of. And then this. I want you to look at spring as a time for a fresh start. To start over. Those of us who are older, I know there's a tendency sometimes to, as you grow old, you grow tired, you grow weary, you experience hard things, and sometimes life just beats up on you, and you've led a long life, and now you're facing challenges you didn't face before. When you get together with older people like you, you talk about your aches and your pains and your ailments, right? I do that now. I didn't used to. I didn't think I'd find myself doing that, but I'm doing it. But as we sang in the song a minute ago that's taken from Lamentations 3, this is true right now in your life. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And so, even if you're not in the winter of life age-wise, but maybe you've experienced a period of coldness, a lack of passion or zeal in your relationship with God, you feel like you've been drifting, let God speak to you through His Word, and let what He has done in this season speak to you. That things can be different and you can have a fresh start. I think of Virginia Wright being baptized several weeks ago. How God is working in her life. There may be others here who need to do something like that. You can talk to us afterwards. Maybe you need to be baptized or you've drifted away and you want to come back. I know Bob has talked about being kind of disconnected from the body of Christ for a number of years. And so Bob himself has made the choice to get reconnected. And I'm excited about that. It's a fresh start for him. And everybody can have that fresh start. And a little bit later on in the service, when we sing the last song, there's going to be one of our shepherds, not right now, but later, one of our shepherds will be in this room to the left as you go down this hallway to meet with you and pray with you if you have some special need. I want you to be aware of that. I want you to be aware very quickly next week. We're going to start a series called No Longer, and Nick's going to preach next week, and then after that, Noah's going to preach. But some of these themes that I've opened up today will be talked more about, this idea of life and death, next week. But right now, let's live in this moment. And so let the season of singing continue. And let me challenge you with this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us right now, every heart in this auditorium, and those of you joining us online, every heart, every mind, we are totally focused in on engaging our hearts and our mouths all together. And so I challenge you, really try to focus, not just now, but always, focus on those words and what they mean. Don't let your mind get distracted. And we're not going to know who's thinking about the game this afternoon or what they have to do, but wouldn't it be just a powerful moment if we all knew right now in this moment we are all unified and together as we sing and praise God? And so let's enjoy some more singing.